Okay.
I've been trying to get that for the last 30 years.
8:46, we'll call to order the Gates County Board of Supervisors. Stand and recite the Pledge of Allegiance, please.
Pledge of Allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Open Meeting Act is posted on the southeast corner of the wall. Attendance by observation: Juergens, Dorn, Bauman, Hill, Lytle, Byers, and Setzer. First thing on the agenda is the consent agenda. The consent agenda consists of the general agenda, approval of minutes from the previous meeting held February 6, 2013, approval of all claims through February 20th, 2013, in the amount of $488,424.64. Approve and place on file correspondence received. Approve the Register of Deeds fee report for the month of January 2013. Approve permit 933 for Windstream to install communication facility north of East Dogwood Road on South 176th Road in sections 25 and 26, Township 5 North, Range 8 East, near Philly and Hooker Township. Approve permit 934 for Windstream to install communication facilities on South 82nd Road between East Birch Road and East Buckeye Road in sections 34 and 35, Township 6 North, Range 7 East, near Adams and Nemaha Township. Approve permit 935 for Lower Big Blue NRD to install water line right-of-way number 007-012 in sections 20, 21, 22, and 23, Township 1 North, Range 6 East, Paddock Township, and in Section 2, Township 3 North, Range 7 East, Rockford Township. And finally, to approve declaring a 2003 Dodge four-wheel drive Durango VIN number 1D4HS48N73F573437 as surplus and calling for bids. Bids to be open March 6, 2013 at 9 a.m. Motion to approve or disapprove the consent agenda.
I would move the consent agenda be approved.
Moved by Byers.
Second.
Second by Setzer. Any discussion? I will speak to one thing. It's Dawn gave it to me just this morning. It's a flyer, and apparently it's buzzing around Facebook. It's called the Million March Against Child Abuse, and they've scheduled the Gates County Courthouse sidewalk for April 22nd from 7 to 5. This was done, we know nothing about this, but this correspondence is out there, and so Roger's going to make a contact there. I think we want to start the habit of people just scheduling things here and, you know, how that'll affect us. So Roger was going to follow up with that. Okay, any further discussion about anything on the consent agenda? Vote 7-0 to approve the consent agenda. All right. Next on the regular agenda is comments for the public and requests for future agenda items. All right, move on to committee reports. Building and grounds.
Nothing out of the ordinary. We have consistent issues this time of the year as far as heating, and we did have to replace the compressor, and Dave is staying on top of everything. I don't think we have anything unusual to report.
Equalization.
Nothing.
Meyer, finance.
Everybody should have got in there. Hopefully everybody saw the highway bonds. Last time we talked about doing the 29 miles of overlay and the cost of $4.15 million. Meritus, we contacted them, and they sent down what today what the bonds would be for or whatever. If you did the $4.15 million 10-year bond, I believe the interest rate was a 1.7-something. And on a $100,000 property, the cost would be $22 a year. On a 15-year bond, the interest rate would be like a 2.27, and the cost per $100,000 property would be $16 a year. Those are just some guidelines so you guys know what the cost. I also had Smith Hayes. They sent me some financials, too, or some bonding, and that basically theirs came right in line with that, too. You know, we talked about doing some overlays, and just wanted everybody to see those so we know what kind of figures we're talking about or whatever when we come up with that. One other thing, talked a little bit about, Adam's up there is building a new fire barn, and as part of that, Bill DeMuth here has been working with him getting a USDA grant that would be a revolving type grant that trying to coordinate all of that or whatever. But they visited with us. It'd be a $300,000 grant that they could apply for that they'd probably have a pretty good chance of getting. Not a grant. I'll take it back. It's a loan, right, Bill? It's a loan. But they need a $60,000 match for that, and they visited with, attended a couple meetings with Bill and stuff to see if the county has some interest in that also or whatever. Norse is the company that it would also be involved in this that would be working to get the grant and whatever. Not the grant, the loan. But the really interesting part about this from the USDA is that would be paid back over 10 years, and as that is paid back, that becomes a revolving loan for, like, economic development type things or whatever. And that's where maybe why the county, they've invited us to be part of some of the meetings to see about being part of that revolving $60,000. If the city of Adams does it, they're basically paying the $60,000 twice, so it does not work for them really to be involved in the matching part. They're contacting other people and visiting with other things too. I just wanted you to be aware of that, to know that that's out there maybe on the horizon. Like Bill could maybe explain more of it. Bill's a lot more up to date on it.
Yes, Byron did a good job of explaining.
Bill, can I have you come here just so? Sorry.
I didn't know if you wanted me to do both at once.
Well, maybe, you know, when we, well, yeah, let's just, we're talking
about. Yeah, you can do, you can explain that a little later. I just wanted to bring that up so people are, everybody's more aware of it. That don't mean that they're going to definitely go ahead and do that, but March 14th, they will do their fire barn. I believe at their, I think that's their town board meeting. And that at that time, they will make the decision to go ahead or not with the building. And then the process is started to do this revolving loan.
I thought I had something else here, too, this morning.
Oh, no. That's kind of what I had for finance. We didn't talk about anything else except, oh, the one other thing I wanted to talk about was, I think the biggest thing we had on our claims for this month was we had 150-some thousand for health. For the insurance or whatever. We had, before that claim, we'd budgeted $1.2 million for our health insurance. And before these claims came in, we had spent $600,000 out of that. Or basically, we were right at 50%. That was, and the only reason I bring that one up is that's a bigger one than normal for our time. And we had some, the girls in Don's office explained that there were several big claims that came in at the same time, and that's why. So. That's just for information for people.
Human resources, employee relations.
No report.
Law enforcement.
On the emergency management side, we continue to work on the LEOP, or I should say Mark and his staff continue to work on the LEOP and get ramped up to get that going. Pretty much it on the emergency management side. Gus, did you have anything you wanted to add on the law enforcement? Yeah. So I think we're good there.
Terry, Road and Bridge.
Yes, on last Friday's committee meeting, we had discussions on rock bids that will be sent out, and they will be opened on March 6th of coming meetings. Philly Bridge project possibly letting in August. Appraisals are done and waiting for okay for negotiations. Hickory Road, we had had two meetings basically. The first one was on the 12th. We had a utilities meeting with the utility companies involved on that project, fairly extensive. There's a lot of utilities down that stretch. So we've got their inputs on, showed them, you know, what we were looking at, possibility of work. So kind of making them aware of what's going on there. And last night we had a landowners meeting with landowners on that stretch. It was well attended, and I do believe that, you know, the consensus there was positive. Everybody in the room, you know, basically is in support of this. It's especially if you live on the road. So everything I heard last night was very positive. Matt was there, John, Myron, Galen, as well as Mark Minnelli and his staff. So, like I say, everything was positive, I believe, that we heard. It's just one step. We're moving a little closer. Designs were shown, possible designs were shown, and like I say, I think it was a positive meeting.
And the reason we had the meeting last night was so Mark and his firm could get comments and thoughts from the landowners, and we have a couple of them here this morning again, get their ideas, or if they had concerns, or if they knew something about the traffic pattern or something, or anything that would be helpful and useful in doing the right-of-way or the easements or whatever. And that's why we had the landowners meeting last night, and I think it was very positive. We had a lot of good comments, and they got Mark probably update us a little more here later when we go over the 1 and 6. But they had a lot of good questions and from the audience and stuff last night for that road.
Mm-hmm. I live at 9890 West Hickory Road, which is up the hill from the plant, and this road will be very.
We're going to have the 1 and 6 year plan, and then you'll be able to. I don't know if we have a sign in sheet or not, do we? But then you'll be able to get up. We'll welcome all the comments then and stuff. So, okay, just pretty soon we'll have that 1 and 6 year hearing.
Okay.
And we should let everybody know when we have that hearing that we will ask you to come up to the front and identify yourself so that we have that for the record and on the record, please.
Anything else? The only thing I'd say about on the insurance side, with related to finance, because that was Road and Bridge was the last one, is that I just want to bounce back on the insurance. And the next item on there is NACO, the conference that John and I went to, and there's some concerns about insurance and how that'll affect the county with the Affordable Care Act coming in. So they spent a little bit of time going through. Actually, one of the sessions dealt specifically with insurance. And so as we move forward, we're going to need to defer to our insurance carrier to kind of guide us through that. If you get online and you read about that, it becomes pretty convoluted. The way that we're doing things now, it designates what constitutes a full-time employee. We'll have to open up the FOP agreement to probably be consistent with federal law. So those things are coming down of how we're going to be able to do things on it for a public level as a public agency. I just want to make sure I touch on that, because we need to visit a little bit more about that. So I bounced ahead a little bit about that. But
I got one more thing on the committee. It's not Road and Bridge, but the Engage Appreciation Dinner, which was scheduled for tomorrow night, has been moved to March 14th. At same time, at Classic, same time and everything. It's just been because of the weather. The executive board and Bill made the decision to go ahead and move that, and we will not have it tomorrow night, just so everybody knows, and they'll probably contact people again to make sure they can attend. And also our Engage meeting for tomorrow has been canceled, right? Our regular scheduled meeting, we were going to have that at 4:30 before this other meeting. That has been canceled, too.
Road Bridge. Sorry, I'm bouncing around.
Yeah, sorry.
Oh, no, that's fine. Did you have anything else to comment on the meeting last night? I mean, it was...
It was good. There was some one-on-one time. Mark had, again, two of his other engineers that were there, and they were able to visit and deal with specific questions that the landowners had specific to their land. So hopefully, I don't know if that all got answered, but at least there was an opportunity there to ask those. And Mark can go through 1 and 6. You can speak more to that. Anything else? I didn't mean to cut you off there, but I do want to talk, and I guess I'll defer to John here, if you want to, some of the meetings at NACO that you sat in on, and what, well, can we give an update on some of that?
Yes, I did, I attended the two breakout sessions on the railroad and the county's rights and the wellness program, and, you know, possibly at some time, even though there hasn't been much interest in the past in the wellness way, you know, it is still something that might be worth looking at for, you know, to help maintain healthcare costs. And obviously they had a great legislative overview. And it's interesting how quickly something like the, you know, the income tax proposals to eliminate the state income tax can run into a lot of opposition. It was going to affect industry that had a lot of inputs, and they were very vocal in making their points known. It probably would have affected the ag sector more, but it's obviously something that's going to proceed further with study and be back next year.
There were also, there was a breakout session on one of the main features, I should say, rather, was about cybersecurity. I think most recently we've seen what China has done to several industries here in the United States. And so as a local government, we need to be sensitive to all the data that we have and all the potential places for information to be hacked in and lost and people coming in. There were, I believe they gave I don't remember the county, but there was a somebody came in and hacked a county's payroll and diverted all the payroll to a private account. So there are things out there that we need to be cognizant of. Larry Dix will act as a resource to help us there. I think there was a recommendation that you probably have someone come and do an assessment like we've done from the physical space security, look at what we're doing, look at the different networks we have, look at the they were even talking handheld devices, somebody that comes in and is able to access the Internet from their smartphone. What type of security risk does that cause in your organization? The other thing that came out and that I asked was, you know, is part of discussion is, are we at a point where we're probably complex enough with technology, we need to look at hiring an IT person? I talked to a couple different counties. One of them has their own IT person. One contracts with a local a city, and another contracts with an ESU to help provide that service. So there's a couple different ways of doing that out there. I know for some time, I think the county attorney's office has used outside IT service to help them with their needs. I think the clerk's office at times has used theirs, and I'm sure other offices have too. So probably need to dust off the idea of looking at what the potential would be for an IT person just to coordinate everything. There's things here in our courthouse with security service. The highway department has a system down there, and I know this last year when we were trying to do some of those capital purchase items for technology, everybody was kind of going a different direction. I think we kind of got that together, but you know, that was one thing that came up was that cybersecurity, and I don't know what our risks are, but we probably should look at having someone come in and do an assessment.
That might be something we can work in conjunction with the city relative to IT, because they have IT staff, and possibly we can blend into what they're doing, and they would do it with us as we would share some costs, and would be something could be pretty practical.
Definitely a conversation I think we need to start having. I'm not making any decisions as of yesterday, but definitely a conversation. It seemed to be quite a bit of feedback we were there. Legislative review, as John was talking to, there's an interesting LB 550. It's infrastructure funding, and I think I actually heard you guys talking about it on the radio the other day about livestock-friendly counties being eligible to have a no-interest loan to be repaid over 5 years, not to exceed $250,000 for any given project, and that would be for administered by the Department of Economic Development, specifically for infrastructure dealing with livestock transportation. So there are certain folks in committee that don't like it because didn't appear to be a lot of strings attached that would bind the county to pay it back, but I just thought that, you know, as we look at some of our infrastructure needs and the fact that we are designated livestock friendly, there may be some benefits out there for no interest loans to be paid back. And then lastly, just because we see it comes up, LB 215 dealt with tourism dollars, and they're looking at changing at least one word in there to go from may to shall, how you spend that money to take some of the vagueness out of it so it has to be spent. Apparently there are some counties that don't spend their money as readily as we do. There's a lady there from Visit Nebraska, which is an organization, and they encourage you to spend those tourism dollars. That's why they're there. Do things that improve the community and viable product or projects, because there's a lot of counties that don't do that, and they build up these big funds and they use them creatively, and that's all I'll say. They're very creative with how they use them. So those are some of the things. I thought it was a pretty good conference. There was, you know, there's always those talks that are kind of a dead duck. You just kind of sit there and think, what did I learn? But generally, I thought it was pretty good.
It certainly was an interesting conference.
I'd certainly encourage all the members, the newer members in particular, to be as actively involved in NACO. Over the years, I've been very involved, and the information they can share and what you can bring back from those conferences are great. So I would encourage all of you to participate as much as you could. They're good.
A couple other notes here I had. The FOP has contacted. Pam Van Landingham wants to have an initial meeting. So Gary Myron and Kathy and I will meet with them. Don't have a time yet. It'll be the 26th. And basically, we're not formally negotiating. We just need to talk about some different things. And on the insurance side, you know, we need to open that agreement up probably. And then, like they did last time, they want to share some of their thoughts with us. Any requests that may be out there? Let's see, we've got about 5 minutes before we're going to open up our public meeting. Let's go through here. I want to give you a fair time to discuss some of these things. I'm looking at Bill over here, but otherwise I think we're going to have you here for a while to listen to our 1 and 6, but I don't think we want to jump through you real quick.
That's okay.
Okay, good. Well, I'm going to move ahead. We've just got a few minutes. We'll knock some of these out here. Public hearing will be at 9:15 for the 1 and 6. Let's go down to non-timed item. Approve or disapprove resolution directing Highway Superintendent to make a report on possible minimum maintenance road classification north 1/2 mile between sections 10 and 11, Township 6 North, Range 5 East in Claytonia Township. A motion to approve or disapprove?
Motion to approve.
13-03 is a resolution. Moved by Dorn.
Second.
Seconded by Juergens. In discussion? This was a request from Claytonia Township. Any further discussion?
And as part of that request, then we have to make a resolution to have Galen do a report on that, of turning it into that possible minimum maintenance road.
Vote. 7-0 to approve. Let's go here. Approve or disapprove resolution to support a similar coalition in Nebraska as a Hungry Canyon Alliance, Inc., is in Iowa. Motion to approve or disapprove.
So move.
Moved by Byers.
Second.
Seconded by Dorn.
Can we have Mark come up and just comment on it quick?
Did I say that right? I kind of stuttered through that. I'm just reading the agenda verbatim, and I didn't.
Good morning.
Verbiage didn't seem to go very well.
No, it doesn't. Well, and okay. I didn't help with either.
What's in front of you today is they call themselves the Hungry Canyons Alliance. It's an alliance of counties in the western part of Iowa that has stream degradation problems like we have in Gage County. Stream degradation is the result of years of straightening and farming practices and practices from the Corps of Engineers from straightening the Missouri River to major and minor stream impacts. What happens is when you straighten a stream out, you steepen the stream, and the stream wants to go back to its natural stream slope. So what it does is it cuts itself in to lower down, and you get these little waterfalls. And if you talk to people who've been around in the country a long time, they'll tell you the stories of how they used to jump over the creek, or they used to ride their bikes through there. Now it's a 20-foot hole or the huge canyons. The soil types that we have in eastern Nebraska are the same soil types as in western Iowa. About 15 years ago, western Iowa got together. They formed a coalition where the highway superintendent and one board member of each member county sits on a board that then elects a board that picks the projects that they'll support. And for years and years, they got federal funds, state funds, and then they all have their, they all pay a stipend in. They hired a full-time staff member to facilitate the projects to stop this head cutting in its tracks. Weirs in the rivers, rock checks, to prevent the movement or migration of these, of this, this head cutting. A couple of years ago when the earmark situation stopped in Washington, their funding stopped. So their congressional delegates told them you need to get as a line item in the NRCS a budget so that it's not a earmark every year. And they were told that they needed to try to bring in some other states to show more of interest than just the 23 counties in Iowa. They came over to Nebraska, tried to work with NRDs, with the counties, and basically were unsuccessful because it's like trying to herd cats, they said. And me being around, I'd seen them coming and trying. I got to looking at what they've done. They've built over 300 drop structures in Iowa over the last 15 years. And what they have over there is what we should have been having over here because for instance, in a neighboring county years, we just bid a jump span on a bridge that they have that just to keep it in place, $200,000 because of the head cuts that have moved through. Basically, every foot of drop a channel has, it widens the channel 4 feet. So from a county perspective, every bridge that we have on that channel and the channels that dump into it, as they drop, get longer and longer and longer, and we'll lose our infrastructure. Or when we come replace one, I have to estimate how much it's going to drop. And instead of a 50-foot bridge, I might have a 100-foot bridge. As far as the farming community goes, every foot of drop, there's 4 foot of ag land that's lost to every farmer, not just on the main rivers, but all the tributaries that come into it. So what I've done is I've studied the counties that are indicated in the correspondence that I sent to all the counties that are in there and asked for moral support. And the coalition in Iowa has invited me to come lobby with them in March in Washington to try to get this federal funding. The counties that want to go in Nebraska, I'm going to propose that we form a coalition over here using the footprint that they've used, put the control back in the county's hands, and then hopefully we can secure some federal, maybe some state funding and some local funding to go after these funds for these type of projects. So what I'm asking for today is just support so when I go to Washington and I meet with our delegates, I can show them a map and say, Senator, Congressman, in your district, these are the counties that have supported this potential effort. And in the climate, I don't expect to come back with a big funding source, but at least they have it in front of them. I've talked to them already. They know it's happening. But I know that the Iowa delegates are real strong proponents of this because they see what they can do. So basically, I'm not asking for any money. I'm just asking for, hey, this sounds like a good idea. Go ahead, and we'll support it at this point. And eventually, we'll have to form a coalition, and then I'm sure there'll be more requests in the future. But for now, that's all the request is. Is there any questions about what we're trying to accomplish? Yes, sir.
Mark, in relation to Gage County, you've seen this effect on the streams and everything in relation to Gage County.
Absolutely.
Pretty widespread.
Yeah, it is. And each stream and river system, depending on if it drains north or south or what it drains into and how much straightening is happening, about the eastern third of Nebraska has real prevalent. As you get closer to the Missouri, it's worse. But a lot of those streams that flow into those counties, the head cuts may be in the county neighboring us, and they're working their way up. So the Nemaha River and all the tributaries to the Nemaha, to the Muddy, to the Blue, as it's dropped over the years, it's coming. And if we don't get the neighbors to stop it, it's going to come into our county even worse, but it already is. So this is a problem we're dealing with, we're going to have to deal with.
Further questions? Thank you very much, Mark. Moved and second. Resolution 1304. Vote 7-0 to approve. It's 9:15. Need a motion to open up a public hearing to hear support and opposition, criticism, suggestions for observations related to the Gage County 106-year proposed highway improvement plan.
So moved.
Second.
Moved by Lytle, seconded by Byers to open up a public hearing. Vote 7-0 to approve. We are in a public hearing related to 1 and 6. So do we have a sign-in sheet
over here
signed in? If you'd like to come up and visit about our plan, or yeah, maybe present it first so we can.
Yep.
Again, thank you. I'm Mark Minnelli, the county's consulting engineer.
Neil Engel, Gage County Highway Superintendent. Over the last year, as projects come in, people turn in a bridge that they want looked at, concerns on, and stuff. And that's how these projects are derived from. And we go out and look at certain structures, and if there's something like broken stringers or back walls eroding out or piling, bad piling. We put this together, keep track of this, and we add it on to the new plan. That's turned over to Mark then, and he sizes all our locations. So we know, we try to, on all our structures, like our little timber bridges, 16, 20 footers, we have had great success with sizing for culverts for replacement. That's what we're continuing to do. So as I find these projects, I turn them over to Mark, and then he sizes them, and then we get together and prioritize them and put them on the following year plan. So that's where these projects come from every year on this. So that's what I have to say.
Okay, thanks, mm-hmm. Galen. I'm going to get into a little bit more detail. Galen talked a little bit about the structures. The 1 and 6 is a way to us to go to the public and tell them how we intend to expend their capital improvement project money. So any project that's a capital improvement, overlay, reconstruction, major grading, or structures is included in the 1 and 6. Maintenance items are not. The definition of maintenance is fairly defined in the Board of Classifications and Standards as far as what maintenance is. So pulling up shoulders, gravel, replacing a culvert to a culvert of the same size as maintenance. Those projects don't show up in here. Maintenance to bridges doesn't show up. One of the things that I want to point out is when we go through this, and I'll explain what's in the book here, these are the major capital improvement projects. One thing that we've done in the road department over the last year is we require the foreman to keep track on a daily basis, and we report to the road and bridge our maintenance activities because they don't show up in here. So one of the things that we're doing more of and a better job of is the asphalt crew on patching, crack sealing, and skim coat overlays. They're reporting to the road and bridge so that you know what they're doing. The bridge guys go out, they cut trees, they fix a bridge, they replace plank. That's being reported back in, and the mechanics are doing the same thing. My intent was that there's no mystery on what those crews are doing, because I know in the past there's been questions about, you know, are we getting a bang for our buck? Well, we really weren't reporting to everybody as far as what we were doing on a daily basis. Now we've had that information, but now we're sharing that with the Road and Bridge Committee and our biweekly reports to them. So those projects aren't in here. So if you want reports of that, they're available, but that's not what we're talking about today. Everybody should have a book we put together, and I just want to briefly go through what this is. This is what gets submitted to the Board of Classifications and Standards, which is a state agency. This tool is for us, for you, and for the constituents of Gage County to know what our plan is, but also at the end of the year when we do our budget expenditure report in the fall, we tie it to this manual to show that all of our capital expenditures were declared to everybody. This is where we expected to spend the money. This is how much money we expected to spend. And then we do a report showing that that's where we spent the money. So between this document and that document, anybody can look at the roads department and say, okay, you said you were going to spend money there. You did spend money there. What's this project over here? It wasn't on the 1 and 6. That doesn't happen. So this is kind of our guiding Bible, and when the board cuts us loose, this is where we're headed as far as long term and then short term. The document itself has several pages in there in the beginning, just showing how we advertised, which actually was a question that came up last night. We posted in the newspapers. We posted in several locations on public boards to let everybody know that this hearing is today. Even with all those efforts, I know that unless people are looking in those areas, they don't hear about it. But that's about all we can do. If you go to Form 11 in the book, it talks about last year's one-year plan and where those projects are, whether they were completed, the date they were completed, or if they were delayed, or if they were canceled. Last year we had quite a few projects. A lot of this is asphalt work and armor coat work. Behind that is a map showing those projects and where their locations are. Then we get to the nuts and bolts, which is what's called the Form 8, which is the one-year plan. Now, the one-year plan is from now till this time next year. It covers two fiscal years, so the rest of this fiscal year and next fiscal year. So when we look at these, we look to see if we're financially able to do these number of projects. And one of the things that I've talked about in the past with you is I want a realistic one-year plan so we're not blowing smoke up our constituents. I want them to know what we intend to try to do, what's going to get approved, and what we financially feel we can accomplish. Otherwise, it falls to the six-year plan until it's fiscally constrained. This map here is all of our, and it's probably hard for you to see, but that's the map you have in yours. We have a one-year map, and then we have a six-year map, which is all the one-year, all projects. So you'll see that third map in there is the map that's up here on this board. So as we talk about specific projects, you'll see that the red ones are the one-year projects, and the black ones are the six-year projects. So the forms that are ahead of it are just summaries of those and our priority list that we've come up with for the one-year plan and general estimate of the cost of those projects. When you get past there, you get into what's called the Form 7, and that's just a real brief description of tentatively what we expect to do at those locations. You'll see that some of them date back to 2010. One of the deals we're going to do here in the next years is we're going to go back to the old Form 1 and 6s so that we can put the date that they started on these forms. So we're going to do some research. Normally what we do now is we'll put a date in there on a new project so that as we go down the road, we can see that this project's been on there for 35 years. We try to make decisions based on that as whether or not we're going to leave it or why it's there, why isn't it moving forward, and if it's not going to move forward, then we're going to take it off the plan. I don't like going to people and saying, yeah, you're on the list, and they look and go, okay, I'm still on the list, and then 30 years later they're like, well, is that ever going to happen? Well, if it's not going to happen, then we need to tell them. If they feel real strongly it's going to happen, then we need to start talking about what it's going to take to make it happen. So as we move forward, we're trying to make this a realistic plan for the road department and for Gage County. Project-wise, Galen talked a little bit about the structures. These also include township projects. We canvassed the townships and asked them for any capital improvements they intend to do. Even though that those projects may or may not come out of the county budget directly based on the size of the project, theirs get shown on here, and their capital and expenditure reports actually get shown by us through our capital expenditure report in the fall. So some of these projects, and of course in this county, if it's 4-footer, bigger, the road department does it. So most capital improvement projects are on our back to take care of. If you look at the, now I'm going back to the Form 8 on the projects, quite a few of these were held over last year. Benelli Wagner's gone around, and we've been doing a lot of coring on your roads. I think we're about halfway or better than halfway done on the asphalt as far as coring, identifying what we have, what the subgrade looks like, and what our 20-year outlook looks like. And what we did is we took our high-volume roads, cored them, and then did pavement assessments. One thing that I've learned by looking at all this pavement and the cores and the analysis of the traffic is that our maintenance guys have really done a good job holding together work that was done in 1999 and 2000 with thin lift overlays that we did. So, but we do have issues that are out there. We've got cores falling apart when you put them out of the ground. We've got aging asphalts that are covered with thin layers of newer asphalt. And what we've done is by using the truck counts and the actual strength of the cores we've had, we've made recommendations. So recommendations for different stretches of road may be anywhere from a light mill, which is grind it down, and then an armor coat, to 2.5-inch structural overlay to grind the existing road up, recompact it, and put 4 inches of asphalt back on top of it. We've gone to road and bridge. A lot of those projects are in the one-year plan, and depending on funding and funding availability and resources, those projects will be discussed and either approved as we go forward or not. The armor coat work has been delayed. One of the biggest things you can do for asphalt to keep it viable is to maintain it, seal it, and rejuvenate it. An armor coat is a binder or oil with a driving surface gravel put on top of it, and what that does is that oil soaks in, fills in the voids, prevents water from penetrating, gives you a new driving surface, and it actually maintains our investment that we've made. Failure to do that is just asking to redo the road at about the 20-year. Now, we're about 14 or 15 years into our overlays, and it's time to really get after some armor coats. These roads were selected last year, and we didn't get any armor coating done, and we hope to get the armor coating done this year to maintain what we have out there. Structure-wise, we've identified 3 or 4 bridge structures for the bridge crew to work on this year. One's on Hickory Road, and we have a couple other sites that'll be bridges. So my intent is to get the materials and get the bridge crew in a construction mode this summer, get some capital expenditure money spent, and replace some structures that we've had issues with. Last year, we concentrated on bridges to culverts. We have plenty of those on here. We intend to continue to do that in our small bridge program to get bridges out of there and get culverts back in the ground. So we have plenty of those as well. Grading, we have some shouldering on here, and we have some road grading projects that we want to finish that we started last year and move forward with identifying the next roads, which I think you're going to hear from some people today asking that their roads get improved. Those are also shown on here. So. In general, that's our 1 in 6 plan. Specific projects, you can, if you've got questions about it, I'd be more than happy to discuss them with you. Is there any questions you might have?
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Go down our list here. Deborah, I just got you here. Did you need to say anything? You wrote public hearing. Do you have anything to add? No? Okay. Okay. Steve, you're on the list? No. You signed it? Okay. It's okay. We'll make you talk. Okay. Believe Irma Johnson. I'd like to hear from Irma Johnson. See, she'd signed up. I think she's back there. just please state your name and address for the record.
I'm Irma Johnson, and I have lived in the area for 66 years in the property that I'm now on. But I have lived there all my life. And this road has always been a busy road between Plymouth going to Lincoln and DeWitt going to Beatrice. The road is very, very busy and should really be canvassed on how many their cars go through and trucks right now with all of, with the new Cook's Industries down there. So I feel very strongly that we really need help with the road because of all of the heavy trucks that are going on that road all the time. As a matter of fact, we built our home in 1980, and we have some damages that are coming from all of the heavy traffic to the house. I've just had the house remodeled, but it's starting to, it'll be there forever. But it is damaged because we can feel it, the truck traffic, when they travel that road. It's that bad. And there is a hill down there, right at our neighbors, that is, I have my mailbox across the lane, and when my husband was at the end of his life, I worried about him getting killed out there. And I do fear that somebody could get killed out on that road. So, but we're wondering if at the time that you do the grading for the road, that you'll be that we know you'll be doing, that maybe you could grade that for a possible later paving, because we do understand how expensive the paving is, and just have it in two projects. But if you could help out that much to grade the road and get it ready for paving at a future time. As a matter of fact, my son is suggesting that instead of going over clear over to Highway 103, what you could do is go to the corner past my house and go connect up with the Highway 4 just by going west of my house and taking that 2 miles over to Highway 4. The traffic is so bad that I wish the road could be closed, but that's not possible. There's other people living there, too, that have to come out of, you know, from the other 89th road coming from the north. So there's nothing we can do. The dust and dirt has really been hard on my health. I have a lot of problems with sinuses and stuff like that. The dust and dirt from that road is just terrible. So the rock and stuff is very, very damaging to us over there. I thank you if you'll consider what I've said, and I'll let somebody else say something more to you, okay?
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Helen Berger?
Good morning. I'm Helen Berger, and I live on 89th Road and Hickory Road. And my neighbors, I have always concerned about this very heavy travel with trucks, school bus, workforce, and the commuting of the workforce. It's very dusty, it's very noisy, and overwhelming, and very dangerous. And I would like to see in the future the 77 beam go on Hickory Road to 103 in the future plans. And we're very pleased to hear that we're being considered to have improvements this far. My personal concern is, and I should discuss it later, is probably telephone poles, because I have none on the north, on south right now. And the curvature that you're putting on 89th Road, rather than going ahead. First of all, I need to mention that 89th Road is there's two roads for 89th Road. One is past the plant, and the other one has always been called the jog road, which is a fourth of a mile on west. And I have many people who commute on that road also. And I would like, my concerns would be that I would like to see, instead of that curved road going through the property that was just purchased across the road from my land, I would like to see it extended at least a fourth of a mile, with the thought that perhaps in the future that we can begin at 77 and go to 103. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Kent Krause. Bill Vi Koenig.
I can't walk very good, but I sure took the time today to come in and see you. I was at the meeting last night, and I enjoyed listening to what they have planned, but I guess we have one big problem, money. And I think all of us that live on Hickory Road have suffered with the dirt, and the heavy, heavy trucks that go by our road is sometimes almost unbearable. I wish that if they can't extend the paving that goes on Hickory Road, couldn't they put some gravel on our road to keep the dust down? We haven't had gravel on our end of the road. I live on the last mile, which goes west and hits 103. And we do have school kids that go up that road besides truck. It is heavily, heavily traveled, and I think they mentioned that last night. Everybody knows that it is a very, very busy road out there. And unless you've been out there and lived with all the dust blowing, I don't think anybody realizes how much those trucks and those great big wheels, cars don't bother. It's the great big wheels on those trucks that churn up the dust and it blows. And if they could, like I said, even put gravel to keep the dust down, it would help tremendously. And I guess we just keep praying for pavement. But I thank you very much for listening to me.
Thank you very much. Mark, we heard from Mark. Steve Johnson.
Mark spoke. I don't actually live on Hickory Road, but my mother does, and I've observed the road conditions out there for a long period of time. In fact, I drove the roads last night, and even at this point of the year, you wouldn't think there that would be that many heavy trucks on that road, but just last night I drove the road at 6 o'clock, and there was two fertilizer trucks already heading down to the Cook plant on that road coming from Highway 103. And the roads are somewhat wet right now, or got a little moisture in them, so it's not blowing. But at times when there isn't wind blowing, that dust will hang in the air, and you can't see anything. And I know a lot of you probably have drove some of those roads. But if you live in the area, you have a real concern, like my mother pointed out, for somebody losing their life on that road, just not being able to see. They may slow down, but they might get run over from somebody coming up from behind. So it is a very high traveled road. And if they'd just go out and maybe measure the traffic on the road, and just so that everybody could know that how much traffic is really on there, and if they could get it in your 5 or 6 year plan to look at it again, I think it'd be a worthwhile project. And be a real benefit to the whole neighborhood. Thank you.
Thank you. And next we'll hear from Alan Grell, but I will just make a comment. We've had a couple questions about traffic counts, and we do have some of those new traffic counts, and so we'll hear from Mr. Grell, and then if did anyone bring those traffic counts with them, we could share some of those. Mm-hmm. Oh, Alan didn't. I'm sorry.
I didn't want to speak, but I do have a question based on how much input the economic.
Here, come talk here. We'd like to hear from you, Alan.
Alan Grell, 1907 Washington Street. I'm just curious. I noticed we have two members of the Economic Development Corporation sitting here in the audience. I choose to believe that's good. That's better than any time I ever served on the county board. But is there real close coordination? Because I would think from an economic development standpoint, that by now Hickory Road would be one of the top priorities for this county to get resolved. My next question would be, Hickory Road, is it all maintained by the county now, or at some length out there when you go west, does it turn into township maintenance?
I think we have it the whole.
Again, I think there's 3 miles of township, but from west. 103...
I rest my case. Thank you very much.
Anybody else who would like to say anything? Last call back there in the corner. You wanted to pass, but an opportunity. Want everybody? Yeah, sure, absolutely. We'd like everyone to have a chance to be heard. Just name for the record, please.
Kent Krause. I live on a farm about 5 miles southeast of Adams, 18467 East Cedar Road. I came kind of to protest a couple things, and I find that they are probably what you'd consider maintenance rather than capital improvements. So I didn't know if I should say anything or not. But
1 6, yeah, right, absolutely, yeah.
Go ahead, okay. One of my protests, and I've talked to Myron about it, is our road over southeast of Adams seems to be one of the poorest condition gauge county roads around. Partly washboards, chuck holes, but also trees hanging out over the road. Between my place and town, there's 3 or 4 places where 2 trucks can hardly meet. I've complained about it for years and nothing happens. Trees are also a big problem on our way along the township roads, and nothing seems to happen about that. A lot of those are one-lane road for a truck, almost. 176 from a mile south of 41 Highway to the Lancaster County Road is bad. The other thing that bothered me, at the end of December, there was an article in the Beatrice Sun about this board's problems with Norris Public Power. And this article disturbed me because it sounded like the board didn't feel it was responsible for damages done to Norris's right-of-way and private property, and reluctant to pay the bill to have them repair the damages to their property. And I didn't like the way this article was written. Maybe it wasn't. I only saw one side of it, so I don't know. But I didn't like the way that was written, so thank you.
And just to comment on that, with the issue with Norris, is we did meet with them. We've paid for that.
That's yes, been very paid. Reluctantly, though.
Well, we wanted to visit with them. There were some communication issues there that that we wanted to clarify and that we moved forward on. So.
But as I understood the write-up, you should have gave them a profuse apology for what happened.
Thank you. Anybody else regarding 1 and 6? Seeing none. Mark, any further words? Or Galen, anything else? Board member, anything else? Terry?
Well, just one comment of we've had here. The board fully recognizes the problems in that area, and we're addressing them. It's been talked about for years, that road has, and I think finally we're to a place where we're going to act and do something on it. So rest assured, we recognize the problem out there, and we'll certainly look at going west if we, what we can do. So.
All right, I guess we'll do last call, seeing nobody new. Any further discussion regarding our public hearing? Need a motion to close the public hearing? There's no more discussion.
Move to close the public hearing at 9:46.
Moved by Lytle.
Second.
Second by Byers to close the public hearing. Further discussion? Vote. 7-0 to close the public hearing. Next item is to approve or disapprove resolution number 1305. To approve or disapprove Gage County 106-year proposed highway improvement plan. Motion to approve or disapprove?
Move to approve.
Move to approve by Lytle.
Second.
Second by Juergens. Further discussion? Yes, Alan, one more.
I guess I have a question.
One of the ladies said it very clearly here. Your problem is dollars. They always are the problem. However, in my mind, we're still using financial management practices that were conceived back in like the 1940s and 1950s. I choose to believe that you have far more financial capability in your budget than most of you realize. For one, I think the young man that was running again, John Hill, had indicated that, hey, maybe you need to turn some of these roads back to township roads. I've looked at your road. There's a one-mile stretch. I have absolutely no idea why it would be cost-effective for the county to maintain 1 mile when you got township totally surrounding it. You have 2 6-mile stretches of roads that run from nowhere to nowhere, and the county's maintaining them. I know you've looked at it, but it's been that former thought process that we had. You guys are going to have to learn how to change to meet modern needs. Cost of commodities are going to rise significantly in America, and it's going to get more and more difficult to do it. I think you need to have your engineer study some of these options. I've been an advocate, you know, I don't want to hurt townships, but they are antiquated, outdated, and in many cases ineffective. If you look across the state of Nebraska, about 70% of the counties use county form of government. You get better supervision. You're giving townships right now 7.5 cents. I doubt very much if any of you really know how that money's being spent. You need to create a management system where one of the ladies was complaining because the road wasn't properly graded and trees weren't cut. Those are responsibilities of townships. If they don't do them, you need to have some leverage to cause for those type of improvements. Those problems, in my mind, have been going on in Gage County for years. I spent 12 years here talking about, hey, let's fix the problem. They're easily fixable by good, sound management practices. And we've not chosen to do that yet. In Gage County, we keep going on in the old way. If you continue to do what you've been doing in the past, you're going to get the same results. Talking about the 1 and 6 year plan is not the most important thing to me. It's how are you going to generate the necessary revenue that Mark believes he needs to get these roads to an improved status over a 6 year period of time. And I know when I sat here for 12 years, it just angered me because it was just laughs and jokes. We were putting lists on a thing. We didn't have any idea if we had enough money to cover it. It was not adequately managed, and I would hope I can tell you I'm impressed with Mr. Mark over here with the work he's done. His presentation today was probably outstanding to compare what was ever presented to me as a county supervisor. And roads are going to be essential. They're going to be expensive. And I'm not so sure. Eldon Goble, when he sat on here as a supervisor, used to indicate we got way too many roads. I think we're up around 159 miles of asphalt roads or paved roads.
156.
Yeah, go out and check some of your other counties. We are in the top percentage for the number of roads we maintain. And I hate to see us try to do something differently, but if you're going to keep the same ones, you got to come up with adequate, sustainable finance to run management and capital outlay programs that will sustain and keep these roads to a satisfactory condition to meet the economic needs of the future. Thank you.
Thank you, Alan. Any further discussion? No. Have a motion and a second to approve the 106 plan. Again, stating resolution 1305. Vote 7-0 to approve. Next item on the agenda, approve or disapprove specifications and call for bids for rock and gravel. And the bids are to be open March 6, 2013 at 9:15. Motion to approve or disapprove calling
motion
for bids.
Motion to approve.
Moved by Dorn.
Second.
Seconded by Juergens. Any discussion regarding our rock bids?
Basically, this is what goes out to all the bidders on this. It's a quite extensive bid sheet. Kind of details a lot of things in there that's required from the bidders. So fairly extensive sheet that will be going out.
We do this in the spring and the fall both, so we get bids that we can use now during this, the late spring here in summer, and then we'll do it again in the fall in September. So,
Terry and I were visiting earlier about quality, and I think periodically we do spot checks. I think it was a year and a half, 2 years ago, didn't we go through and we were looking at the quality of the I think basically you just showed up on the pit with a coffee can, didn't you, and just were taking samples. I think that's...
Yeah, we sample when we put it on.
So it's we do spot check that, but it's sometimes quality is variable. All right. Any further discussion? Have a motion and a second? Seeing none, vote. 7-0 to approve calling for rock bids. Next, approve or disapprove the program agreement supplement 1 on project BRO 703418. Adams Northwest, and approve or disapprove resolution for said project. Motion to approve or disapprove.
I make a motion to approve.
Moved by Juergens.
Second.
Seconded by Dorn. Discussion. Could I have Galen or Mark? You want to just give us a brief update as Galen?
What's the change in the contract is the Department of Roads is building up a bigger fund of state aid bridge funds, and they're proposing to use 20% of the state aid bridge funds in lieu of 5% state aid bridge funds and 15% local funds are from our soft match fund. So the change is that it'll be 80% federal and 20% state aid bridge funds.
Okay. So we're approving both the agreement and the resolution, and the resolution is 1306. We have a motion and a second. Any further discussion? Seeing none, vote. 7-0 to approve. Approve or disapprove the program supplement, agreement supplement 2, and authorizing chairman to sign project BRS 32855. Philly North, and approve or disapprove resolution for said project. Motion to approve.
Motion to approve.
Approve the program and the project. Moved by Dorn.
Second.
Seconded by Juergens. Discussion.
This is just the same thing as Mark said again, except that was for the Adams Northwest Bridge project, and this is for the Philly Federal Bridge project.
Okay. Anything else to add? Seeing none, vote. 7-0 to approve. We're down here. And that was resolution 1307, if I didn't state that. Okay, I think we're done with the road Just going to hang out and talk about economic development. Steve's gotten to see the whole meeting. Next on the agenda is approve or disapprove the Engage incentive guidelines. And again, this would be approving the plan, not any actual dollar amount right now. It's just the plan, or the program, if you will. So I need a motion to approve or disapprove.
Motion to approve.
Moved by Setzer.
Second.
Second by Byers. Discussion. I guess we've seen this. I think it's been about a month. Bill, if you'd like to, if there's any questions for Bill about this, we've had this. I believe it's been a month or 6 weeks we've talked about this. So any questions for Bill?
Just for the record, I'm Bill Demuth, Executive Director with Engage.
And I've talked to Myron about this. Right now, we don't have a line item in the budget. This would be miscellaneous general or inheritance funds if a project was to come up before the end of the fiscal year. And then, Myron, next year we would put a line item in there. And it's just if there's an opportunity. We don't know this is going to be an expense.
These are guidelines. The city, this is for the city and the county both. Mm-hmm. And the city approved theirs here a couple weeks ago. And these are guidelines. So when Bill is visiting with prospective customers, prospective companies, he has something that he can feel comfortable presenting to them that this is something that the county board and the city council both are aware of, and that there's a real good opportunity that these types of funding mechanisms would be approved. This does not give you the authority for to go ahead and guarantee this to any company. He needs to come back to both entities, governmental entities, and have final approval or approval once he feels comfortable with a business or a company coming.
Correct. And, you know, under the local incentive tools, it does say county fund not readily available will consider on a case-by-case basis. So there's pretty clear clarification there that the expectation is very considerate.
Any questions or concerns regarding the agreement? I've read through it. I don't have any. Okay. No further discussion. We have a motion and a second. Vote. 7-0 to approve the plan.
And then if I could take the opportunity to follow up a little bit on Myron's topic of the USDA grant that the Village of Adams is applying for. It's for, as he said, a firehouse training center meeting area. And the purpose for coordinating that effort on Engage's behalf is to try to develop a revolving loan fund. And I'm not going to get into the real specific mechanics of how a USDA grant works, but essentially, Norris Public Power applies, then they pass, if given, they pass that money on to the Village of Adams for the project. The Village of Adams has to provide enough security that Norris Public Power will get the money back. The money is paid back, and then a revolving loan fund would be set up that a five-county area would be able to apply for funds, and that includes all the communities within. There would be additional applications made to try to build that fund above that amount of $360,000. And I think that Gage County and Engage would be in good position to be very competitive for those funds for projects that save jobs or create jobs. So that's, you know, when you the USDA would look at it more favorably if five counties are included in that, and they look at it even more favorably if it's not just the Norris Public Power District that can apply for those funds. So a couple of things, I think that sends a real positive message that Gage County and Engage and other people involved in economic development are very active in the business of trying to grow and attract and improve the area. Tentatively you might be allowing some of your dollars to be borrowed by another county. I'll do my best to make sure that doesn't happen. Use it before they can get it. But it shows a very collaborative approach, which I think is, well, it's one of our objectives as Engage. Just so you know, the Village of Adams, potentially a seed corn company, Norris Public Power, and there will be a discussion next week with the City of Beatrice to also participate in this match. We're not sole sourcing this match, and we're looking to get this established so that we can provide an additional tool for economic development. That's all. If you have any questions on that now or in the future, feel free to call me. And it's progressing nicely. It's been a real spirit of cooperation. USDA is working. Southeast Nebraska Development District is involved. All the right players are coming together, and we're seeing that progress.
Sit tight. Don't go anywhere. Discussion on amending agreement with Engage regarding the presentation of financial report. I visited with Andrea Schaefer about this, and some of this is just the verbiage in the timeline of when Engage gets their financial audit report and when they're able to present it to us. In here it says that they'll provide full disclosure of all financial information, city and the county. Engage forward a copy of said report to the Beatrice Clerk, County Clerk, by the 10th of each month. And we're not, or the idea was, we're not trying to not let that happen, but the concern was even the Engage board a lot of times doesn't get to see the financial report and audit it for anything that is wrong or errors that need to be corrected or clarified before we see it. So the question was, can we change when we see that? I think it's just that I think you guys get that, and again, I just wrote here, financial report comes on the 10th. The meeting is usually not in time to make adjustments. And the question would be to amend the agreement with the city. Since it's a joint agreement, we can't do it just ourselves, and change the language and timeline, but not change the reporting requirement. Did I say that correct, Steve?
Yep.
Okay. So no action today. It's just it's a process issue of how they're able to get that. Is that correct, Myron? Does that seem? Okay.
Yep.
So if that comes up, it would just be the time that is it Schultz and Associates, is that who,
yes,
who does just gets it to you all? So
it took a little while, but we finally have that. So they give us a monthly report now, and the first time the board sees it is our monthly meeting on the third Thursday, which is after the 10th. So the feeling is that the board hasn't had a chance to look at it and make sure all of the bills and whatever in there are accurate, changed it or clarified it or corrected if they need to before it comes to the city and the county. And that's why we've had this conversation or whatever. It's ongoing and trying to decide how to make that so it meets our guidelines or bylaws, I guess, or whatever, and make those adjustments.
And the city's aware of this, too, so I think there's good dialogue. I would propose with the city and the county representatives at your next meeting maybe come up with a proposal for us how we could change that verbiage. And again,
glad to do that.
Still want the reporting requirement. It's just the timeline of how things work. So.
And that's something that probably Andy or the lawyer for Engage will have to give us some legal advice on as much as anything.
Yeah. Okay. Very manageable.
All right.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Steve, you got anything you want to say?
No.
Just before we got a closed session to go over a county security assessment, I guess Gus and Mark are out there, and I'm going to just speak to, I know that they've put public notice out. The courthouse will be closed on Thursday. Friday is planned half day. We'll see how it goes. Mark as emergency manager. Any further discussions about county plans? I know that I think the paper and the Quibi of KWBE has.
We actually had a press release with them yesterday.
Right.
Galen and Gus, myself, Chairman and Doug, Chief Deputy, did meet yesterday and went over some response plans, some things that we make sure we have everything in place. Still anticipating. Not quite as much wind, so maybe we won't see the drifting we thought, but they're still anticipating the 10-inch range of snow. So we do have made contact with the hospital. We've made contact with the police department, dispatch. We got procedures in place. Beatrice Fire and Rescue, the same thing, that if we'll be able to handle what we can, you know, if something does happen, we need to make emergency response. So,
any questions for Mark? Gus? No. All right. Last thing on the agenda, it's closed session regarding county security assessment and Homeland Security. Is the gentleman here from Homeland Security?
Yeah, just a few minutes to set up this.
Okay. Computer. So we'll
Can we have a 5-minute break?
Yeah. We'll recess before we actually go into closed session. So 10:06. Yeah, I'm just going to recess. Go to closed session.
I don't know if you turned it on.
We all need to do that?
Yeah. Need a motion to come out of executive session 11:49.
So moved.
Moved by Lytle. Seconded by Setzer. Any discussion? See none. Vote to come out of executive session 7-0. Anything else for the good of the order of the Board of Supervisors? Terry looked like he had something to say there.
No. I'm good.
Buying lunch? Is it? Jurgens buying lunch?
No, didn't say that.
Is that an action item? Can we vote on that? Jurgens buying lunch? Okay.
He's got 250 calves he's got to get home and take care of.
Okay.
Well, it's 1 o'clock.
Oh, he's got an hour yet. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, seeing that, I guess we'll adjourn the Board of Supervisors. Everybody felt like they had an opportunity to say what they needed to say. Okay. 11:49.